I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, we'll talk with our Money Train conductor, Alvin Hall, for tips on how to get that piece of the American dream, a home of your own. But first, we're going to take a few minutes to remember one of the most original voices in radio from the 1960s and 70s. He wasn't just a broadcaster. He was also a civil rights activist, TV host, and a funny man. His name was Ralph Peaty Green. Raised by his grandmother, he overcame poverty and addiction to become a beloved media personality and activist in Washington, D.C. He talked about race in a way that made people laugh and pay attention. Green is now the subject of a new film called Talk to Me, starring Don Cheadle. Green first told his story himself in the book Laugh If You Like, Ain't a Damn Thing Funny, although the book wasn't published until 20 years after his death in 1984. Lerma Rackley had been working with Green on the book when he died. She joins us now from Georgia Public Radio in Atlanta. Welcome.
Thank you.
How did you meet Peaty Green?
I actually met Peaty when I was a young reporter in Washington, D.C. in the early 70s. I met him over at WOL, where I had gone over to interview Dewey Hughes for a story I was doing for the Washington Star. And then thereafter, I ran into Peaty all over town at events that reporters tended to cover.
Petey's story in the memoir that you worked on begins with a quote from his grandmother. Boy, I know your mouth is going to get you killed or get you rich one day because you're the talkingest damn boy I ever seen. Was she right?
Absolutely right. He evidently came out of the womb talking. And he got the attention of his teachers early on. When he was 5 years old in kindergarten, he came home one day and told Aunt Pig he had been chosen to be the witch in the Halloween play because the witch had all the lines and he could talk better than anybody else.
Talk to me about who he was in the kind of the media world in the 60s, because I'm just not sure there's a comparable figure out there today. I mean, maybe in Spanish language radio, maybe Tom Joyner, where you've got somebody who's kind of a combination of a kind of activist, broadcaster. Can you help people understand who Peaty Green was?
Sure. I'm not sure that there's any one person who is comparable, but you're right. Several of the broadcasters, including Joe Madison and Tom Joyner and Steve Harvey, all picked some of what Peaty brought to the table. But he was a one-of-a-kind broadcaster because, number one, he was broadcasting in a day that was not as open to everybody like it is now. So you have a lot of broadcasters out here now who are doing the kind of thing that Peaty, or trying to do the kind of thing that Peaty was doing, which is to bring issues to the fore. Peaty was not a disc jockey as the movie portrays him. He was a public affairs talk show host in the early days of talk show when the talk shows were restricted to Sunday afternoons. And he hit the place like a storm coming in because he talked in a way nobody else talked. He talked from the people. He always believed that it was important for him to show his roots, and he grew up poor in Georgetown, and he never wanted to be apart from the people. So he ended up being the voice for the voiceless. He represented the other Washington.
His grandmother, who was Aunt Pig,
right,
pretty much raised him. What happened to his parents?
When he was born, his mother was 16, and she handed him over to his grandmother, Aunt Pig, and said, you said if the firstborn was a boy, you'd take care of him for me. Here he is. And so his grandmother said, I'm not going to keep this boy from the cradle to the crutch. When he gets to be some size, you got to come back and get him. But all of her relatives said she didn't ever mean that because she held that child close to her heart and never wanted to let him go. So he was his grandmother's favorite. His mother had other children after Peaty was born, but Peaty ruled the home, and he absorbed all of his grandmother's Southern-born wit and all of her coping mechanisms to deal with
She was somebody
obstacles.
We'd call country. She was country.
No, well, yeah. I suppose you might say that, but she had come up from South Carolina in the wave of women who were moving north to get better jobs. And so she brought her Southern-born wit with her, but she also had adopted a lot of the skill set that people learn in the cities. So she was a bootlegger. She was a numbers runner. She was like a hustler. And she passed all of her con artistry on to Peaty.
Now, how did he, as I understand it, he did not have the easiest way to go. I mentioned that he was a veteran, but he also was an addict. He was an alcoholic. He got himself addicted to heroin somehow or another. How did he go from all that to becoming this big figure in Washington?
But he believes that it's all his grandmother's grand design for him because she always believed in him. And he came back from the Korean War with that heroin addiction, and she helped him break the habit a few years into having it when she found out about it. And when he put the heroin down, he just kind of zoomed into alcohol with a vengeance.
Now, you mentioned that Petey Greene had a very unique style, especially unique for the times. I think we need to hear a little bit of Petey. Now, this is a clip that's circulating on YouTube. It's a bit where he's instructing people on how to eat a watermelon. Let's hear a little bit of it.
I see black, my black brothers and sisters, and they'll see me eating a piece of watermelon like this, yeah. And they'll go, when they go to frown their faces, I mean, that's despicable. But it's good. And you know the thing that makes me mad? When I go to their parties, they will take a big, pretty watermelon like this and cut all kinds of gadgets and then cut the inside. You see this good piece of watermelon here? Cut all the guts out that good watermelon and mix it up and mess it up with something else, man. Sometimes they got a notion of putting liquor in it. And then after they cut them little crevices in it, then put it back inside of that hood. Man, that's a waste of watermelon when all you got to do is pick it up like it's here. Look here, just pick it up like it's here. That's the way you eat a watermelon. And I don't care if you use a PhD.
Lerma, what's going on here?
That segment cracks me up every time I see it, and I've seen it a zillion times. I used that when I launched my book 20 years after his death in 2004. I used that clip for people who maybe didn't know PD, especially when I was out of town, like in Philadelphia or down here in Atlanta. And people tended to just roll in the aisles, except for people who were a little persnickety, and they were like, oh, my God, what is this guy doing? But he loved to do outrageous antics like that just so he could get a rise out of people who would be stunned by him burying his face in that watermelon on the air.
But he was making a point, right?
He was making a very good point, which is to not be pretentious, to be yourself, not let somebody else define your tastes and your enjoyment of life. And that was one of his constant themes, to take jabs at pretension.
We're talking about Ralph P.D. Greene, the subject of the new movie Talk to Me. Our guest is Lerma Rackley. What do you think Greene's legacy has been for the broadcasters who came after him?
I think, unfortunately, a lot of people outside of the Washington area, unless they picked up on P.D.'s show that was carried on BET in the last year or so of his life, a lot of the other broadcasters might not have been aware of him. But his legacy would be one of speaking truth. In my book, Laugh If You Like, Ain't a Damn Thing Funny, he talks about his desire to be an example for people and to hold responsible the powers that be to make sure everybody got a fair shake. So I think his legacy would be the kind of civic activism that a lot of broadcasters like Reverend Sharpton and, as you mentioned, Tom Joyner in terms of raising funds for college kids, or Steve Harvey in terms of giving the Hoodie Awards to recognize black businesses. I think Petey would approve of all of that kind of thing.
What do you think he would think about the whole discussion around the use of the N-word?
I think he'd be tickled. I don't think he would back away from it because it was a word that was bandied about in his home when he grew up. And I think he would still think it was a valid word to use. And, of course, it's used throughout my book. But that was the way Petey talked, and so nobody could do a movie or write a book about him without using the language he used. You know, he may have adopted some of the sensitivities, just like Richard Pryor backed away from using it so much after he went over to Africa and had some different exposures. But at the time that Petey was living, Richard Pryor was using it liberally, Dick Gregory was using it liberally, books had that in the title. So I don't think he would back away from it.
How do you think Petey Greene would want to be remembered?
If I may, I'd like to read an excerpt from my book, which I wrote after recording Petey's life memories. I think God has just taken me from a chunk of black coal and just smoothed me into a diamond. And pretty soon there ain't gonna be no flaws in this diamond. I used to have a supermarket basket to collect soda bottles and trash and stuff that I could sell to get wine. I would go around in trash cans, just be picking up paper. And I hope somebody will say, man, I remember when Greene used to do that. If he can stop drinking, I can too. I hope that I give somebody some incentive.
That's sad in a way, Lerma. It's like a reminder of yet another life taken too soon. Well, thank you, Lerma. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You still think about him?
Oh, I do.
Do you find yourself thinking about things that he said?
I find myself thinking about things that he said. I find myself imagining things that he would say. And I find myself asking him, what does he want me to do to make sure that his true story and the legacy he wanted to leave gets out there? I'm not at all disappointed that someone else is doing a movie on him. I just want to make sure that the true story that he left behind is also recognized.
All right. Laura Miracle worked with Petey Greene on his memoir, Laugh If You Like, Ain't a Damn Thing Funny. She joined us from Georgia Public Radio in Atlanta. Laura, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle.